Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Well, folks, it is the first remote here on Saturday Tailgate. Welcome on in. Mike Rizzo live at the Cognizant Classic and ESPN 106.3. All of our shows since Thursday live at the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches, presented by Kaiser University. Folks, champions are all over the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. The Kaiser Seahawks have won 22 national championships and are ready for more. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawks Athletics. That is KUSeahawksAthletics.com. As I mentioned, we are live at the Cognizant Classic. We are having a great time here over the last couple of days, and it's really been a competitive tournament. And then I did want to go through those leaderboards, and once again, your Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beach leaderboard updates brought to you by Kaiser University, The Breakers Palm Beach, Pink Hair Florida, Pop Stroke, South Florida Ford, and Hard Rock. Well, the featured group is going to be teeing off today at 155. That is Jake Knapp and Matthew Pavone. Jake Knapp at 13 under. If you remember, in round one, he shot a 59, a course record 59. Talk about a low score. But he shot one under yesterday. He shot 70, so he's sitting at 13 under in the lead. And right behind him is Matthew Pavone, who shot a 64 yesterday and a 66 back on Thursday. So 13 under, the leader in the clubhouse right now, Jake Knapp, and the Matthew Pavone followed at 12. They will tee off at 155. Coming in third place and a couple 11 unders here, Joe Highsmith, Ryu Hashino, Doug Gim, Michael Kim, Jasper Svensson, and Daniel Berger. Those are the 11 unders today. We are in between hole number 11 and green number 10. And I'll tell you what, it is packed, folks. It is the perfect time to get on out to the Cognizant Classic. Got to give a special shout out to our partnership coordinator, Mike Jones, who helped me put together our beautiful sports desk here under the pavilion. Now, it didn't go unscathed, folks. I did manage to slice and dice my hand. There's blood everywhere. I had to go to the first aid tent. It was a whole thing. But we are live here at the Cognizant Classic having a lot of fun. And once again, that was your leaderboard update. Damian Perez is back at the City Place Studios. Damian, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. I got to tell you, Mike, I love your golf announcer voice.
Yeah, you know, I got to make sure I'm quiet out here. So, Damian, I don't know if you listen to the shows over the last couple of days, but Colin and I, you know, when we do the show, we get really animated. We go at each other, and we got a little too loud. We got a little too loud. Now, I was able to speak to Todd Fleming, the executive director of the Cognizant Classic, and, you know, he didn't mention anything, and, you know, we're good. We're all good. But we were a little loud yesterday, so I want to make sure.
It's pretty on brand, yeah. I got to say.
Damian, I want to make sure I'm on my best behavior today. I talked to the volunteers who are working the tee box today, because it's a great spot. As I mentioned, we're right in between 10, we're right in between 11. I'm watching guys tee off. I mean, talk about an ideal Saturday, folks. Talk about an ideal Saturday. Get on out to the Cognizant Classic. You got wonderful food at our area as well. You could, and after the show, after 1 o'clock, we're going to keep our sports desk here. We're going to have the street team here. We're going to be doing photo ops with the sports desk. So get on out, the Cognizant Classic. Come see ESPN West Palm. But more importantly, come see a great golf tournament. The leaderboard is jam-packed right now. And as I said, I saw Todd Fleming, the executive director. I said, Todd, what a tournament. You know, what a leaderboard, what a tournament. The food is amazing. Everyone's telling me how much they love the food. I'll tell you what, Damian, they have these burgers. Now, I've been really good. I'm actually down in weight right now, but I'll tell you what, I might have to have a cheat day, because there are these burgers that are probably the size of two fists with about three patties on them. I'm ready to house one, Damian. Are you a burger guy, D?
Oh, who is? Love
burgers. Oh, my God, dude. I mean, a double cheese. I'm seeing a guy eat looks like a pulled pork. You got your guacago. Your Mexican here, too. You got everything out here, Damian.
It's very similar to how with the fair a few weeks back, you know.
Oh, my God,
dude.
Did I tell you what I did at the fair?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Dude,
oh,
as my Uncle Johnny would say, I put on a display.
Well, I mean, it's only once a year. The fair, Cognizant Classic, once a year. So you gotta enjoy it, man.
Damien, at that fair, I had an elephant ear. I had a hot dog. I had a pretzel. I had popcorn. I had water. Anything you could think of at that fair, I ate. Now, I am going to stick around a little bit. That featured group tees off at 1:55, the Jake Knapp and Matthew Pavone. I think I'm going to follow them around for a couple of holes coming up after, because I am interested to see if Jake Knapp can keep this up. Like, obviously, 12 under and a 59, an unbelievable score and a course record. But the next day, you know, yesterday, he only shot one under. And you see that a lot in golf sometimes where guys come out hot. And listen, I'm not calling Jake Knapp a nobody. Guy's on the PGA Tour and has a tour card and is going to make more money than I'll ever sniff in my life, okay? But at the same time, like, Jake Knapp, kind of an unknown to me and some of the others who aren't necessarily a PGA, follower and disciple. And I watched the tournaments. It's not like I don't know anything, but to be honest, you know, Jake Knapp, didn't really know him until he shot that 59. But a guy like Matthew Pavone, who's up there on the board as well, Daniel Berger, Zach Johnson, who has won a major before, Ricky Fowler. I apologize, I didn't mention Ricky Fowler in that update. He's 10 under. How about that? Ricky Fowler, who lives in South Florida and this area, the Jupiter area, the Palm Beach areas. So it's a fun tournament. Once again, get on out. We are live at the Cognizant Classic, presented by our good friends at Kaiser University. And folks, if you're trying to improve your golf game, there are many ways to improve your golf game fast at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. They have the facilities, the tools, and the coaching you need. Enjoy the best facilities in the area with outdoor facilities, including an expansive chipping and putting area, practice bunkers, a huge putting green, a full swing practice area to boot. Plus, the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center has a 2,000 square foot training area with three hitting bays, a private classroom completed with cutting edge video and ball flight analysis technology to help you train like a pro. The Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center in the heart of Palm Beach County, off of I-95 and the Turnpike. Find out more at KaiserGolfCenter.com. Well, folks, 888-760-3776. We are live at the Cognizant Classic. I did want to ask the question today. Have you ever been to a PGA Tour event? Now, Damien, you've been to the Cognizant Classic. You've been to the Honda Classic. They're a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's also fun because we live here and we see what that PGA National, what it looks like before and after. And it's just such a festival. You know, I was lucky to be down there when it was, I think it was 2022. And like I said, it's just to see everybody come down. You know, we have these golfers that live here in the area, but to just see them show out in front of us in the PGA National right at our home field,
right?
It's amazing.
And to have guys like Ricky Fowler here, Jordan Spieth, you know, top end, high end players playing in our backyard here in the Palm Beach County. So I completely agree, and it is a fun time. You get a tan too. I mean, especially with this specific tournament, because, you know, Damien, I grew up north in the Midwest. My buddies are watching this tournament and going, Mike, you're doing your radio show live from
February.
That? They go, Mike, it's 85 degrees out there. I said, guys, I was getting a nice bronze, a nice suntan during Russo and Rizzo from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday and Friday when we were live. Damien, the tournament that I grew up going to, it was called the Bridgestone Tournament. It was in Akron, Ohio, and Tiger Woods owned the event. When I mean owned the event, he would win it every year. And when Tiger was in his prime, you know, I was like 11, 12 years old following around Tiger Woods at the Bridgestone Open. We were small enough to where we could, like, get close by the ropes. We could get good, you know, good. We followed them all 18 holes for 3-4 days straight.
Fun part of golf. It's like how
it really
close
is.
You are, the close-up experience. And like you said, you find your favorite golfer, you stick to him, And you just follow him throughout the whole tournament. You got him right there, right in front of you, teeing off.
Yep, and Tiger's my guy. You know, I'm in that time range, folks. You got to realize I'm 30 years old. I grew up watching Tiger Woods. I grew up watching LeBron James. I grew up watching Tom Brady. Like, these are the goats of the sports to me. And Tiger, I could argue, man, Tiger Woods was one of the most dominant athletes at his craft for that period of time that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, his swing, too. Tiger's swing was a vicious swing. It was a swing that my grandfather, rest in peace to my grandfather, he would joke around and say, my God, he's swinging out of his shoes. But it didn't matter. The ball would go a country mile, and he hit the Nike clubs. He had the Nike ball. He would, and you know, I grew up playing golf. You know, I was fortunate enough. You know, my family belonged to a country club when I was growing up. We got lessons and stuff. But, like, you know, the Nike ball wasn't cool until Tiger Woods came around. Nike golf was not cool until Tiger came around. And my dad tried explaining this to me and, you know, my other family members, my granny, my Papa B. But my brother and I, we all wanted to play the Nike ball, and we all wanted to hit the Nike clubs. And I feel like Tiger, obviously, was a big part of that. 888-760-3776. If you've ever been to a golf event, phone lines are open. Looking forward to hearing from all of our great listeners on Saturday. Tailgate. As I said, we are live at the Cognizant Classic presented by our good friends at Kaiser University. Damian, there's a couple of things we're going to have to touch on the NFL side of things. Now, I got to, you know, our godfather of the show, Evan Cohen, him and I had the same take. And I didn't know this until I saw him post a video yesterday. Maybe I'll send Damian the sound of Evan basically apologizing, something that I'm going to have to do right now that I did on Russo and Rizzo. I totally thought Matthew Stafford was going to move on. I thought he was ready to move on. I thought that he was ready to kind of take the next step in his career. Now, to play devil's advocate to myself a little bit, what the next step in his career, he's got 2 years left. I thought with the whole Tom Brady thing, going on ski trips, the Raiders reportedly ready to make an offer, I thought this thing was a done deal. I thought that the Las Vegas Raiders were going to do what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did 3-4 years ago, or 5 years ago now. God, it's been, and my God, I'm getting old, Damian. Regardless, when the Buccaneers got Tom Brady and went for it for those 2-3 years, I thought that that's what the Las Vegas Raiders were going to try to do. Now, the Raiders don't have the team,
right,
that Tampa Bay had. I mean, Tampa Bay had Devin White, Mike Williams, nowhere near the team, but they have a lot of, you know, I think signing Stafford was probably the first step in getting your team to be respectable. And I just completely missed the boat. And it turns out that Stafford and his agent, in my best guess, and my capitan, or, you know, my partner, Colin Russo, he was right the whole time. You know, this was, they were leveraging each other with business. Absolutely. They were playing each side. The Rams said, hey, are you worth this money? Go find out if you're worth this money. And Stafford and his agent, Damian, nonetheless went out, showed that they were worth the money, and said, pay up. And yeah, they did.
That's what it comes down to. And as the smoke has settled, like, that's pretty much what it was. And they did a phenomenal job at it, because at the end of the day, I feel like Stafford's best interest, if he's looking to win, to keep winning, to build that legacy, was to stay with the Rams.
Yeah, and Damian, I'm happy you brought up the legacy thing. Does this hurt? Like, I don't think it would have hurt Matthew Stafford's legacy.
I think
Matthew Stafford's
there's
legacy.
An argument to make if he would have went to the Raiders, it possibly would have hurt, because if we look at the outcome of that move, if we fast forward to the end of next season, I don't think it would have been a successful season.
Like, I think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but, like, when you think of, like, a legacy, you think of, like, and maybe it's unfair for me to say he's not on the level of Mahomes and maybe Tom Brady or whatever, but, like, when I think of legacy and quarterback, those are the guys I think of. I don't really think of Stafford. I know Stafford won a Super Bowl. I know he played for Detroit, and trust me, you hear
that's
me.
That's the problem.
You, Damian,
ultimately,
and it is. But you hear me say all the time, Matt Stafford was one of the funnest players to watch in the NFL. The guy would throw for 300, 400
but
yards,
you know,
every
what?
Game.
To your point, if Matthew Stafford were to win another Super Bowl, that whole conversation changes.
It does, but is Matthew Stafford going to win another Super Bowl? And I'm not ready to talk legacy with Stafford yet. Stafford's a most likely, like, I would put him in the Hall of Fame, but, like, we just saw Eli Manning not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. In my wildest dreams, I never thought Eli Manning wasn't going to be first ballot.
No. I think Stafford is a way better quarterback than when Eli Manning was.
Now,
is that a hot take?
No, it's not, and let me explain why. Eli, I thought he would be the first ballot for the championship, stopping Tom Brady, stopping the Patriots, that undefeated year. I don't think people understand how good that undefeated Patriot team was in that Super Bowl. Dude.
And the way they did it.
Dude, they had, that was the only year, I could argue, outside of Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, that was the only year Tom had a stud wide receiver like Randy Moss. That was the only year where he had a perennial Hall of Famer and All-Pro. And listen, Mike Evans, Hall of Famer, All-Pro. Let's exclude those Buccaneers, all right? But that was the year where Brady had the Hall of Fame receiver. Look what they did. They went undefeated. They were a David Tyree crazy catch pressed against his helmet away from winning, you know, going undefeated, breaking the great Don Shula's record and winning a Super Bowl. By the way, Don Shula, Northeast Ohio guy, John Carroll University. The only reason I bring that up, our partnership coordinator, Mike Jones, on site, who helped me put together the sports desk after I almost had to get stitches, he went to John Carroll. But back to the Brady and Manning, and I don't think Stafford's on that level. Like, listen to what I just explained to you. Eli beat the best team ever in my eyes. Eli beat Tom Brady when he was at the pinnacle twice, not once, twice. No one beats Brady twice. That's why I think Eli Manning has a legacy. The legacy with Stafford, to your point, Damian, is awful years in Detroit. Not his fault. Not his fault. And it's a shame that him and Calvin, and listen, I have respect for the Lions being a miserable Brown fan. All right, I like that fan base a lot. But him and Calvin Johnson rotted there for years. He wasn't anything in Detroit. He came on over to the Rams. They won. Great. But, like, is he the top 15? Is Stafford even a top 15 quarterback of all time? Like, I think that's worth the question. So when we talk legacy, pump the brakes a little bit. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
But if you're Stafford and you want to put yourself in a discussion to be in that top 15, to have that legacy, if we're looking at it from a scenario where you're looking at the Rams, the Raiders, or who was the other team in the mix? The Giants?
Rams, Raiders, Giants. And we'll go through the Giants and that
the
mess.
The clear favorite
mess
for you to have success, it's the Rams. And the Rams aren't too far off. I mean, they were one game away from the Super Bowl. You can argue they played the Eagles the best out of anybody in that Super Bowl run that the Eagles had.
Yep.
So, I mean, if we're talking dynasty and putting yourself in a position to build on that dynasty, it's definitely with the Rams. That's why I believe it was all a leverage move. I think they wanted both to have a good contract, some stability in the contract and their money in the future, and also be in a position where they can go off and win.
Now, Damian, some people might rebuttal to me, oh, is Aaron Rodgers only 1-1? Well, Aaron Rodgers is a four-time MVP, and Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback in the league for about 5-6 years. And Stafford does
10-time Pro Bowler.
Stafford does have the stats, okay? I understand that. He does have the stats. But at the same time, like, he doesn't have the accolades that Rodgers does. Was Matthew Stafford ever the best quarterback? Hang on, and here's another question, Damian. Was Matthew Stafford ever the best quarterback in the NFL at his time? My answer's no.
But he was on the Lions.
But at the same time, D, Tom Brady was widely considered the best quarterback in the NFL. I'd probably take Drew Brees over Matt Stafford. I would take Aaron Rodgers over Matt Stafford. That's my argument here. Like, I understand, like, if he would have went to the Raiders, people might have looked at him as what Colin calls a hired gun. Fine, whatever. He's a hired gun then. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. That's not – Stafford is going to be known as an efficient and great NFL quarterback. I don't think he's going to be remembered as one of the GOATs. And when you think of legacy, that's what you think of. You think of the best to ever do it, the Joe Montanas, the Tom Brady's, you know – Mahomes.
I would agree that a GOAT conversation is nowhere near.
But
what,
like,
Stafford,
but my doing. It's not even that I'm considering him in the GOAT conversation. I just think the whole legacy thing is ridiculous. There's no the when you talk about legacy, it's with the best of the best.
But if you have a Super Bowl, I feel like you always feel like you can build on that.
Like Drew Brees. Does Drew Brees have a, like, what, it, or is that a legacy? Like, I love Drew Brees. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks. You know, I call them the Bulldog.
Only
you know?
One Super Bowl, you can't call it a legacy.
Right, but to my point, like, Brees was a great player. He's a Hall of Famer.
Phenomenal.
But, like, when we're talking, like, with legacies, we're talking about the GOATs. So I read that. I mean, maybe I made a little too much out of that, but I read that this morning on ESPN.com. I'm like, what are we doing here? That was my initial reaction. Like, what are we doing here, folks? All right. The next thing we got to touch on the NFL. So by the way, Stafford staying with the Rams. I think it's the smart move on both sides. I totally misread the situation. Even when I said I think Stafford was going to leave, I never understood it.
It was very interesting to hear that Tom Brady was meeting with Stafford.
But as I get older and I hope wiser, you know, it was a leverage thing. It was a leverage thing between Stafford and his agent, Stafford and the team and his agent, the team and Stafford. So I really appreciate the business side of it and how both of them kind of pinned them against each other. So that's the latest news there. We could put that to rest. Yeah, we could put that to rest. The whole Matthew Stafford thing, that was a waste of time for about a month. I should have known that he was going back to the Rams. Shame on me. Now, the next thing we got to talk about is Damian, let me ask you a question. Is Aaron Rodgers seriously going to go across the way to, what do they call New Jersey, the Garden State? I've never been to New York. I've never been to New Jersey, folks. I apologize my ignorance. He's going to go to the Empire State, to the Garden State. Is this serious?
Well, interestingly enough, they both
Is this a joke? I know they play at the Meadowlands game.
Yeah, they both play in New Jersey.
But their facilities and whatever, right. I think the Giants facility is in New Jersey, the Jets is in New York, whatever. Is he seriously going to go cross ways, cross conference to the New York Giants or the New York Jets?
I think that's what it's looking like. And if we know Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we obviously don't know him personally, but we know enough to kind of address his character. He loves to be petty. And what better way to be petty than to go off to the rivals that are in the same town after the Jets kind of close the door on you?
I think the teams it makes sense for Aaron Rodgers, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Giants, though, you can
the Giants don't make sense. And let me get to that, D. So with the two teams I just mentioned to you, it makes sense for Aaron Rodgers because with Las Vegas, you have Tom Brady in the building, okay? Him and Rodgers are buddies, I'm assuming. You have Pete Carroll, okay? A Hall of Fame head coach. He'd be, in my opinion, I know him and Russell Wilson had an ugly, but it turns out no one was going to fix Russell Wilson, and Sean Payton ran him out of Denver. But I think Pete Carroll and Tom Brady, I think they could handle Aaron Rodgers. I think in Pittsburgh, say what you want about the Rooney owners. And I know they got bad grades according to the NFLPA, you know, whatever the hell we did with ranking the head coaches and all that stuff, ranking the organizations. Apparently, the Steeler ownership got a D. I think they forget that they have six Super Bowls and the family has owned the team since, you know.
Because they don't pay.
Since we ran the wing T offense, okay.
They don't break the bank, though.
And then Damian, you have Mike Tomlin. So you have two of the best. You have one of the best owners in sports in the Rooneys, and you have Mike Tomlin, who never has had a losing season, handled Antonio Brown for five seasons. That's why you would be able to handle Aaron Rodgers with those teams. The Giants, dude. If Brian Daboll and Joe Sheen get Aaron Rodgers, they'll be fired midway through the season. It'll be the Jets all over again. What did they not learn from their crosstown rival or whatever we want to call it? I know they play in separate conferences, and I told you I'm not a New York guy, but my God, you're going to go get Aaron Rodgers after you just saw that thing fail miserably. And I understand the first year was injuries with the Jets, but you're going to go and get Aaron Rodgers to save your job. This isn't Aaron Rodgers that I just got done talking about legacy, and then we'll get to his legacy in a second, okay? Might have to do that next segment. But you just saw Aaron Rodgers not be the Aaron Rodgers that was the four-time MVP. You saw an Aaron Rodgers that brought all of his buddies to New York, that got everything he wanted in New York, and absolutely fell on his face. I will say this. He played well at the end of the season, fair. It didn't turn into wins. He got the head coach fired. He brought in his buddy. By the way, if I could have a take, Nathaniel Hackett should be banned from every NFL facility that there possibly is. That guy should never have a job again. Okay. That Nathaniel Hackett should never, they shouldn't let that guy near an NFL facility. Now that that's over, you can't do that. Damian, if you're the Giants, you saw this blueprint. And it's not like the Giants have all the talent in the world. The Giants have a, I hear it all year last year, Damian. The Giants have a good defense. They won like three games and they were giving up points like a sieve at the end of the year. They have a solid defense and things to look forward to. Like what? Brian Daboll hasn't lost the locker room. This is a joke. The Giants are a joke right now. The fact that they brought those two Ruppa beats back to New York is insanity. And honest to God, this is the only time you ever hear me say this. I feel bad for the New York fan. Football is a joke in that town.
See, I agree with you with the Steelers. I think ultimately the Steelers is probably his best option as far as destination. But I gotta say it, man. The Giants is a way better option than the Raiders, in my opinion.
As a Cleveland guy, Damian, this is the only time you will ever hear me say this. I feel bad for the city of New York, the Big Apple, the bright lights, the best city in the world. They have two of the worst run organizations right now in football.
I mean, especially being a Jets fan. I mean, imagine being a Jets fan for the last two seasons.
Not only did the Jets fail with Aaron Rodgers, they failed with the NFL draft too. They have like the seventh pick this year.
Yeah, and I mean,
and if you honestly, if you think Shedeur Sanders is going to go to the Jets, I have a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn.
And Garrett Wilson is a foot out of the door in New York.
Garrett Wilson, get my Buckeye Garrett Wilson out of the Jets, will you? Get him out of there. He's rotting there.
But I think if Aaron Rodgers were to go to the Raiders, yes, I agree. I think Carroll and Tom Brady can control him. But the Raiders, we got to be honest, man, that's a project. That is a very big project, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers has the time or the patience
is it,
for that.
But Damian, I think it's a project with what they have in place with Pete Carroll and Tom Brady. Who knows? Maybe that team can go 500. Colin and I talked about the Giants yesterday. The only way that Shane and Daboll save their jobs is if they go 500. I think that team's going to be a nightmare, personally. I think it's going to be similar to the Chicago Bears, who brought back Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles after they drafted Caleb Williams. Now, not so much the GM on the Bears side. Let me rephrase. When they brought back Matt Eberflus, they had a perfect time to reset the organization, and they didn't do it. The Giants lost like 12 games in a row last year. They lost like and the talks were they're going to bring them back, and then the Giants lost 10 games in a row, and then they go, oh, maybe they're not going to be back. Like I don't know, they had a perfect chance to just gut it and to start fresh, and they did not do it. And I thought there were a lot of head coaches on the market that were very that were very good candidates for the gig. How about this? Let's take a timeout. We got golfers on the tee here. I was getting a little fired up there. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue the NFL conversations. We'll also touch on a little Inter-Miami soccer. I'm going to be on the play-by-play call coming up on Sunday. So keep it locked in right here, folks. Saturday tailgate live at the Cognizant Classic presented by our good friends at Kaiser University on ESPN 106.3.
From the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Saturday Tailgate on remote today, and ESPN 106.3 and all of our live shows are live at the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches, presented by Kaiser University. Folks, there are champions all over the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. The Kaiser Seahawks have won 22 championships and are ready for more. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawk athletics by going to KUSeahawks.com. That is KUSeahawks.com. It is also time to give you a Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beach leaderboard updates brought to you by our good friends at Kaiser University, the Breakers Palm Beach, Pain Care Florida, Pop Stroke, South Florida Ford, and Hard Rock Bet. Well, as I mentioned, Jake Knapp at the top of the leaderboard at 13 under, followed now by Joe Highsmith. Joe Highsmith is 7 under today. He posted a 64 earlier today. So Joe Highsmith is really positioning himself well for Sunday. After that, Matthew Pavone, the featured group today, Matthew Pavone and Jake Knapp. Pavone is 12 under, Jake Knapp 13, Highsmith 12, so very, very loaded top of the leaderboard here at the Cognizant Classic. And then listen to all these guys at 11 under. Daniel Berger, Jasper Svensson, Michael Kim, Doug Gim, and Ryuka Hoshino. Get on out to the Cognizant Classic, folks. That was your leaderboard update. One more, too. Ricky Fowler is 10 under. Zach Johnson, 10 under. They will tee off coming up at 125. We got some listeners here, too. Our good buddy Mikey in Lake Worth listens to us every day. Appreciate him coming out and seeing us on site. My man Mikey in Lake Worth. And if you are here, too, listeners, come give us a shout. I am going live until 1 o'clock today, so a couple of minutes of showtime left here, this segment and the next one. We talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers. We talked a lot about Matthew Stafford and those situations, but I'll tell you what, it was a fun night at NBA. Damian, what's the storyline with the NBA? How terrible it is, right?
Yeah.
It was good last night. Now, I was biased. My Cavaliers played against the Boston Celtics. The Cavs were down 25-3. Damian.
I was watching that.
The Cavaliers. Cleveland Cavaliers. They were down 25-3. And Jason Tatum hit like a three or a step back or whatever, and he did the get the hell out of here thing.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then the Cavs came back and won. How about that? Oh, I love beating that team. I love beating Boston.
Yeah,
there is no better feeling in sports than beating a Boston team or a New York team. It was so good last night. But I'll tell you what, Dame. Those are two high-level teams. Don't get it twisted. Boston still is the favorite to get out of the Eastern Conference. When you have Jason Tatum, when you have Jaylen Brown, a healthy, and I say healthy with an asterisk, a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, that is, you know, it's so hard to guard Brown and Tatum with their length. And can I complain about something, Damian? Can I complain?
Oh, right ahead.
Jason Tatum has his off arm is, they could call an offensive foul on that guy every single time he drives to the lane. And obviously they don't. But that off arm, and I apologize, folks, we're going to have some people teeing off here on the 11th tee. But Tatum uses that off arm way too much. And I believe it was Ty Jerome for the Cavs who was guarding him last night. He was complaining about it. And I'm like, just play through it. Don't worry, you know, whatever. Dude, he was throwing bows, throwing that arm, that off arm. But what a team Boston is, and what a team the Cavs are, man. What a team the Cavaliers are. First in the Eastern Conference. It's their best. It's our best start in franchise history, and they are a completely different team.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
And Cleveland, it's pretty much come down to the way Cleveland is built because
right.
They have the star in Donovan Mitchell, but he's not what takes them to the second level. I mean, obviously he is the player that you depend on in those moments, but it's just a complete team effort. Like, usually with the NBA, you see teams that are very good in the regular season, and then they kind of fade in the playoffs. I don't think that's going to be the case with this Cleveland Cavaliers team. I mean, if you look at it top to bottom, you got players like Allen guarding the paint. You got Mobley, who's a stretch forward who could shoot and also play great defense. And they just traded for Hunter from Atlanta. So you can argue that they got even better after this trade deadline.
And Damian, I love that you brought up DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter played late in that game to guard the likes of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They signed a Javonte Green, you know what I mean, to add some size to guard Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They are constructing a team to beat the Boston Celtics. And of course, the Celtics are the defending NBA champion and probably still the best team in the league, even though my Cavaliers have the best record. But look out, man. Look out for the Cavs. And I think Doris Burke and Doris Burke and the play-by-play crew were talking about this on the air last night. Doris said, when Evan Mobley is playing at a high level, this is a completely different team, and I couldn't agree more. Mobley had like 13 points in the fourth quarter, but Damian, the biggest thing Mobley did in that game last night was the offensive rebounding. Dude, offensive rebounding late in these games, that's the difference between winning and losing.
That's what sparked the comeback. That's really what sparked the comeback.
And especially in the fourth quarter, that is the difference of winning and losing ball games.
And another thing to that point, Mobley had four quarters in the first half. Four fouls. That's why he had the 4 points. He was off the court with those 4 fouls, but for him to play great defense knowing he had those 4 fouls and still was able to stay aggressive and stay effective, I think that's huge kudos to the big man.
Totally. And when he and I'll say it one more time. When he's playing at a high level, the Cavs are a different team. Now, that was the first game. The second game was a lot of fun, too. It was the Battle of L.A. It was the Battle of L.A. And the Los Angeles Lakers against the Los Angeles Clippers. And it was Luka Doncic's birthday. It was Doncic's birthday last night. He had a good game. Now, he didn't shoot well. That's the one thing. The one thing about the Lakers, God, do they take bad shots. Wow. They take horrible shots.
They really do, but that's what they have to settle for.
God.
They can't play pick-and-roll offense. They don't have a big to do it with.
Well, Jackson, I'll say this, Damian. Jackson Hayes, he's lengthy. He's like a string bean. He's, to your point, he's not a...
offensive player.
Yeah, and like Mobley can run the pick and roll.
Right.
We just talked about Mobley. Mobley's a string bean.
And you have to respect his jump shot.
Exactly. That's why, Damian. Good point, brother. Mobley could he could flash out to the wing. He could go baseline. He could go to the rim and dunk it. Jackson Hayes is really a one-trick
pony. He's a lob threat.
Exactly. He's just looking for the alley-oop. But, man, the Lakers take bad shots. And a couple of things on the Clippers side. I picked their under season win total. I believe it was like 45.5. I'm going to lose that, by the way. I'm not too happy about it. But Kawhi Leonard had a good game. James Harden, believe it or not, played a little. You know, I'm not a Harden guy. Never really was.
Horrible
Damian.
Shooting, but played good basketball, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and he played well last night. He played well last night, and he was coming off a 30-point game the last time. So
that's a player that I don't think gets enough shine because two, three years ago, there was a lot of, you know, talk about his game. Is he done? But what he's done with the L.A. Clippers this season, I think, has been a surprise to many people, including yourself, who took their under.
Yep, and it's always fun, I think, with Clippers versus Lakers. Now, I grew up going to Laker games with my uncle, so, like, the Battle of L.A. kind of means something to me, but... this team, I want to see if you agree with this, Damian. This Laker team, I think they're outside, and I'm really big with the Thunder, all right? And I understand why people wouldn't be. It's a young roster. They're probably realistically a year away, but they were there last year. And I think the Thunder are the best team in the West. I have the Lakers at two.
You know, it's tough. It's tough to put them over Denver. I know they just beat Denver. They just blew out Denver, actually.
It's
just tough to put anyone over Denver with that. I just feel like Denver kind of has the Kansas City Chiefs, the gene, where, like, once it's the playoffs, it kind of flipped that switch.
Yep.
And they know how to – they've been there, you know. They've been to the finals. They've won a championship. I agree with OKC, but it's hard to put the Lakers over Denver just because of that and what we've seen Denver do to the Lakers in the past.
It's a three-team race in the West. It's a two-team race in the Eastern Conference. It's a three-team race.
There's a dark horse, though. Golden State Warriors with Jimmy Butler, 7-1.
No, they'll blow it. They are a non-threat to me.
We're going to find out soon because they will get one of the top
seeds. Dame, it's a good point. And I can't stand Golden State, so, like, maybe it's my bias a little bit. I watched, you know, I love Stephen A. Stephen A's the best. And I was watching Stephen A on the halftime shows and the postgame shows last night. And he was talking, are we going to see playoff Jimmy? If we see playoff Jimmy Butler with Steph Curry,
that's what the Heat was missing. As a Heat fan, that is what the Heat was missing. We had the dog in Butler, but we just needed that one player that can just take over.
And
I know Jimmy Butler did that, but
that's not his role.
That is not his role.
I forgot you're a Heat fan, Damian. I apologize. I totally.
For many years, it's been rough.
Listen, you had LeBron for years. I don't want to hear it. You stole LeBron for 4 years. I don't want to hear it.
Good point.
But D, I see the thought process with Golden State. And let's not forget, Draymond Green declared that they were going to win the championship. I don't want to say too little, too late, because there's still a lot of games left and they could certainly win a play-in series or whatever. I don't know. I don't think they have enough. Like, outside of Jimmy Butler and Curry, I don't think they have enough quality players to go on a deep run. Now, I say that about the Golden State Warriors. You could say the same thing about the Lakers, but like Austin Reeves, even Vanderbilt was playing good defense last night. I know we were just bagging on Jackson Hayes.
I think Austin Reeves would be the best role player if we combine both teams. Austin Reeves is by far the best role player.
Probably. And a lot of those draft picks that Golden State had, if you remember, man, Golden State like was winning championships and in the lottery. It was so weird. But the Wiseman pick failed. Jonathan Kuminga isn't very good either. So a lot of those picks kind of it's hurting them now that those guys aren't panning out and that they're not any good.
There's also the dynamic where the Golden State Warriors have still not transitioned from the Steph Curry, Draymond Green era. I mean, I know Klay Thompson is gone, but I feel like he's still part of that era. But they still haven't transitioned from that era. So, like, even if you are a high-level draft pick, you are never going to get the priority, I guess the keys, to use figure of speech, to that offense. So it'll be tough for a player to kind of be the next star at Golden State until Curry leaves, I feel like.
Good night at NBA last night. The league certainly needs it as it's under public pressure consistently about how bad the play has been and how the game just hasn't been as good as it has been in the last couple of years. I don't know, man. I had a lot of fun watching my team beat the Celtics last night, and I had a lot of fun watching Luka and Bron
when
do battle
no blowouts,
against the Clippers.
When there's no blowouts, the NBA is great.
Yeah.
I feel like the problem has been the blowouts.
Folks, Popstroke Palm Beach is now open. Once again, Popstroke Palm Beach is now open. It is located right next to the Palm Beach International Airport. Enjoy 36 holes of elevated mini golf, delicious foods and drinks, and the new VIP Rooftop and Sushi Lounge. The VIP Lounge is a new kind of leisure, open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You get day passes for $100 and cabana pass for $300. It includes golf, 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 12 a.m. on Sundays, DJs on Fridays and Saturday evenings. Guests can order from a poolside cocktail and food menu list. Guests also have the access to VIP Sushi Lounge and private bathrooms. You can purchase a day pass on resortpass.com. That is resortpass.com to get those day passes 21 and over. Once again, folks, day passes are $100 and a cabana pass is $300. Open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Make sure you check out that VIP lounge. It is a new one-of-a-kind leisure. Got to take a time out here on Saturday tailgate. Damian and I will preview a little bit of Inter Miami versus the Houston Dynamo coming up tomorrow on Saturday tailgate with Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Saturday Tailgate on ESPN 106.3. Listen live worldwide on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm.
Saturday Tailgate live at the Cognizant Classic. ESPN 106.3, all of our live shows are live at the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches, and it is presented by Kaiser University. Champions are all over the flagship campus of Kaiser University in West Palm Beach. The Kaiser Seahawks have won 22 national championships and are ready for more. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawk Athletics. That is KUSeahawks.com, KUSeahawks.com. Damian, it is time to hit our parlay of the weekend, with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Download that Hard Rock Bet app today. I mean, I always say this, but truly no better time right now with the Cognizant Classic here in South Florida. You could take your favorite golfer. You could look at all the odds and the spreads. It's so much fun gambling on Hard Rock Bet. Remember to gamble responsibly, but it is a lot of fun to gamble on Hard Rock Bet. Damian, I've been winning in soccer. I told you this. I'm like plus 200 on the account right now after putting $25 in. We've been hot.
There you go.
We've been hot. And we're going to stay hot with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you are concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That is 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Damian, we're going to go. Actually, we discussed it in the break. Tell me the two teams that we're going to be picking this weekend.
We're going to keep it nice and simple. No need to take four or five teams. We're just going to leave it to two-leg parlay. Newcastle at home against Brighton, and Manchester United at home against Fulham for the FA Cup up in England.
Now, as we know, Damian and I love our Premier League soccer. Damian's a Liverpool fan. I'm a United fan. Usually you want to take your heart out of the betting. But Damian, you even agreed with me. You love United's odds against Fulham at home.
I do. I think United they're in a position where they're rock bottom. There's nowhere lower to go than up. And I think they're going to show a different team this second half of the season. They're going to show some grit, some fight. And against Fulham, they've won, if I'm not mistaken, the last two matches against them.
Yeah, so we're pretty
why not
hot.
Keep that momentum up against
pretty
them?
Pretty hot against Fulham, and United is coming off of a match where they won 3-2, being down to 10 men. Patrick Dorgu had a horrible tackle, got sent off in that first
half. You showed that fight that was missing.
Yeah, I guess, dude. I don't know, Damien. I don't see it with Dorgu, but a lot of people do. I'm just not really that in on Amorim. But, Dame, something that I wanted to touch on before we got out of here. You know, we all have obligations for our great partners at Inter Miami. And, partner, I'm on the call tomorrow. I'm going to be on the call on for Inter Miami and Houston. And it is a stream game. So you'll be able to listen to me do the play-by-play on the stream, Inter Miami and Houston. We're going to have a ton of fun on the broadcast. And Damien, I can't wait, man. I honestly, God, I've been prepping all week. I've been practicing all week. It's been a little
That's
bit
That's,
since
it,
I called
your,
soccer. It's so much
Inter
fun.
This is your Inter Miami debut, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I do pregame, halftime, and postgame, but this is my play-by-play debut. Selfishly, Damien, I'm really hoping that Messi scores.
Well, you got a great game in score. I mean,
selfishly, I am really hoping Lionel Messi scores in this game.
But I think you have a high chance of that happening.
Yeah.
With the sample size we've had with Messi, I mean, he is the greatest player.
Dude, and he's playing. And Damien, he's playing a lot, too.
Yeah.
You
Which
know,
was the
he's
question
staying
coming
out
in.
On the pitch.
It was the question,
D.
It was the question coming in. And the game against Houston, also, I think why I think Inter Miami is going to have a great game is because I know they have a few games coming up. You know, they have the game tomorrow, then Wednesday against the Cavalier team for the CONCACAF champions.
Yeah, the Caribbean champion, Cavalier FC,
That
baby.
Game is at home, and I think that game will be – I think it'll be a blowout.
Yeah, I do
team
too.
Is not prepared to play Inter Miami, so that's why I believe against Houston, Inter Miami is really going to come out with everything.
Well, with the CONCACAF Champions Cup, that's what Damien's alluding to. I believe we're in round two now. It's going to be the first leg.
Correct.
Dude, there's such a big talent gap between the Caribbean League and the MLS. So, like, you know, usually it's
we got a lucky draw.
I don't want to say a walk in the park because that's your famous last words in soccer, I feel like. But
yeah.
Certainly, I think Inter Miami on both fronts this Sunday and against Cavalier FC, I think they're going to, you know, make their mark and have a good game. But, Damien, I talked to Glenn Davis. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Dynamo, and they're under a rebuild, too. You know, this is a full-on rebuild for Houston. Jack McGlynn, who is a rising star with the United States national team, he's a fun player. They have some pretty good players up top and Pounce and company and Brassi. But this is a game where I see Inter Miami maybe 3-4-1. So I'm looking forward to some Inter Miami soccer coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and this is a rival that Inter Miami has circled in the schedule because we were not able to beat them last year. They actually beat us twice last year.
Wow.
So a bit of revenge is
coming.
Revenge game.
Yep. Bit of a revenge game for our Inter Miami Herons coming up tomorrow. That is going to be a 7:20 start time, and it is going to be a stream game. So make sure you get onto that app and listen to some Inter Miami soccer. And, Damien, get your plugs in on the Deporte side, too, 7:60 a.m. on the Spanish side.
That's right. 6 o'clock, we got Acción Rosa Negra, which is a preview to the Inter Miami game. And then 7 o'clock, all the coverage for the Inter Miami game. That's pregame and the full game, 7 o'clock, all on Deportes Radio 760 and the app Deportes Radio FC.
Awesome. Good job, D. I'll tell you what, I'm going to roam around this place a little
bit. Yeah, are you going to go out, enjoy the, are you going to hit the bear trap?
It's going to be a lot of fun, D. I'm going to check out the bear trap, maybe check out that featured group coming up at 1:55 as well with Pavone and Knapp. Folks, this has been Saturday Tailgate. Appreciate everyone who chimed on in. We'll catch you all next week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you later. Bye.